I actually wrote an ad for the What Bar t-shirt. If you and you and Luke will do a reading.
Whatever you want.
One take.
Order a brand new What Bar t-shirt at t-shirt.oswreview.com. Hurry now and get the limited edition brown...
Steve, sorry, can you read slower? You're banging through it and people are stupid.
Are you going to leave that in?
That would be amazing.
I'll think of it.
Hurry now and get the limited edition brown tea that comes with its very own large What Bar chocolate bar. We're shipping the chocolate bars and brown teas together from England. So order now at t-shirt.oswreview.com.
Yep, that's right. That's brilliant.
Excellent.
Fans are stupid.
Talk slower.
You should absolutely leave that line in.
Well, heel turn.
Finally comes in.
Am I out of touch? No. Am I 69 years old? Yes.
Hello and welcome to OSW Review, the old school wrestling video podcast. Filmed in glorious GraboVision and encoded with blast processing, we chronologically critique wrestling movies.
Yeah.
In general. This is your host, Jay Hunter, joined as always by Mr. LT.
Alright.
And V1.
Alright.
It's the Flintstones and WWE's Stone Age SmackDown, and it's coming up right now. Welcome, Nogers!
The VGs are here again!
Pie!
Like that?
You blew it out, Steve.
Yeah! you were giving out to me last time.
But you only said pie.
A singular pie?
Oh, okay. Switch it.
Certain days I don't want more than one.
Content.
Yeah.
The Flintstones, yeah. Yeah, all of you that asked for it, yeah. It's actually not out officially until next month, but they brought out the digital download release early. And hence, here we go. A page right out of history. It's the Flintstones. A landmark in television, a pioneering primetime cartoon from the 1960s, which later paved the way for shows like The Simpsons, South Park and the like. The Hanna-Barbera animation had significant cultural impact, like being one of the first shows to depict a married couple in bed together. It was the early 60s, after all.
That's true.
And why not endorse cigarettes on a kid's show?
What?
How's about taking a nap? Hey, I got a better idea. Let's take a Winston break.
That's it! Winston is the one filter cigarette that delivers flavor 20 times a pack. Winston's got that filter blend.
Yeah, Fred.
Oh, I love to smoke.
Got that sweet Laramie taste.
Get the tar into your lungs.
Welcome to Flavor Bill.
Premiering on September 30, 1960, the original Hanna-Barbera series ran for 6 seasons and has been doing TV specials, movies, with merchandise including cereal and vitamins for almost 50 years since. Okay, it's been dwindling for the last 15 years. They did get a porn parody last year, but it's the...
porn parody, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, anime or, like...
No, live action.
Live action, yeah.
It's not like John Goodman, you know, it's not... hasn't fallen that far just yet. But it's the second most successful animated franchise of all time after The Simpsons. The gimmick of the show is that it's straight up Jackie Gleason's The Honeymooners set in prehistoric times, down to the working class, blowhard, obnoxious but lovable main character Fred, nice but dim sidekick Barney, both complete with their practical and sarcastic wives. The modern Stone Age family live in Bedrock, a world that enjoys would-be technology like cell phones, dishwashers and that kind of thing, using tools of the time, which is usually captive animals, and jokes like having a car but powering it by running.
Quite funny. I used to quite like it, actually. And a lot of the stuff they did was pretty ingenious.
Yeah, it was fun. They're good jokes. They're good for a laugh. One more thing. Bedrock. Flintstones. Barney Rubble. Get ready for rock puns.
I thought yous would be all over this.
No.
But you love fucking puns.
I love good puns.
Not the same pun over and over.
That's what you did with the bees or whatever they were called, the killer bees. It was the same pun.
No. It was the same area of puns, but there were different jokes each time. It had great stamen power.
You cunt.
And now, 14 years after their last Flintstones film, which was a massive bomb, we have our WWE crossover. How did this come about? It's another co-venture by WWE and Warner Brothers, first announced May 29th, 2013. That's an important date. No, it's not. Just 2013 is important. The two having collaborated on Scooby-Doo's WrestleMania Mystery, episode 37.
Check it on your computer.
On the computer! released a year ago. And John Cena landing a gig on the cover of both Flintstone cereal box covers, Fruity Pebbles and Cocoa Pebbles.
Yeah, makes sense. Although it's the fucking Rock that got him that job.
Amazing marketing acumen by the Rock there.
Yeah.
WWE and Warner Brothers aren't done, by the way. We're going to get a new Scooby-Doo crossover film next year with Hulk Hogan, brother.
Okay, yeah. I'm totally down for watching that.
Because the first one made $1.9 million for WWE.
Wow.
Making it its third most successful home video venture. And secondly, get this, a WWE Jetsons movie.
Weren't they all Hanna-Barbera?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Ah, that's why. Anyway, WWE Scooby-Doo 2, WWE The Jetsons. It's like, eat shit, average wrestling fan. Let's start the show. Oh, let's have a gay old time. One, cold open, bedrock, exterior, Flintstone's house, interior, bedroom, Fred asleep, just flat out monologues his motivation for the movie, ask his boss for his paycheck early to bring his family on a holiday to Rockapulco. He's late for work, cue hilarious rushing montage to a horrible re-recording of the classic theme tune. He's not too late to stop at Stonebucks Coffee and pass by The Undertaker and Rey Mysterio drinking tea and coffee and cuts in front of CM Punk and Mark Henry to order a coffee and muffin. Remember that. He rung them first. Cut in line.
That's correct, yep, yep.
Hilariously, in traffic, Fred honks his horn, which just pokes a bird in the arse.
And he said, it's a job, implying that he's getting paid.
No, it's a living, so he must be getting fed.
Well, that's their version of pay, though.
Yeah.
I would make him a slave.
Yeah, sure.
Peter, hello.
Slavery only counts for humans. Everyone below the top of the food chain, just tough shit, like.
What about dolphins?
What about them? They're delicious.
Fair enough.
So it's the Flintstones and WWE's Stone Age SmackDown.
Starring Bree and Nikki Bella, Daniel Bryan, John Cena, Mark Henry, CM Punk, Rey Mysterio, The Undertaker, and Mr. McMahon.
That was really good.
Oh, yeah, that's really good.
Like that?
Yeah. We see Fred's workplace, what looks to be a slave labor prison rock breaking quarry. John Cena Stone. Oh, Jesus.
I had that actually written down. Just Jesus. Because you've not come up with anything better.
What is better?
Fuck you, Steve. I haven't actually thought about anything good.
Oh. I don't know enough about rocks.
Yeah.
John Sediment.
Bam. Better.
Fuck. There you go. Above Cena Stone.
It is better than Cena Stone.
It's not. What about John Giona?
Yeah, sure. Yep.
Oh, like, really? I was about to tell him to go home.
I was like, whatever ends this conversation.
Fair enough.
John Cena Stone asks the boss for work. But John, you can't work. Fred makes it to his workstation. He's a Bronto crane operator right before his boss checks.
I'd like to fact check this right here. There's no such thing as a brontosaurus. It was a slightly bigger version of a dinosaur that they had already found, and they didn't realize it was the same species. So it's actually an apatosaurus.
There you go.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah.
Thanks for checking up what it is as well.
No, I read all the dinosaur magazines when they came out.
Were you a big Jurassic Park, Mark? Jurassic Mark?
I love it, yeah. Jurassic Mark!
And Fred sheepishly covers for himself. His boobery sets in motion a dinosaur and logs falling on them, almost killing both himself and his boss. Cena catches and throws the dinosaur, preventing their death. I was like, oh, shame it wasn't a nephew. That was a prime, because he caught them. Or he could have done a torture rack.
But then you would have hurt the thing.
As if ramming its head into the side of a quarry hasn't already hurt it. Like, the poor thing.
Cheeky shit Fred has the gall to still ask for an advance on his paycheck so he can bounce. The strict boss, HB Slate, does hammer out a check before smashing it and handing the dust to Fred, so he doesn't have this month's pay at all.
Oh, we're back to slavery now.
Yeah.
What sort of sharecroppers? Beer-bellied sharecropper is what he'll be. At home, Fred attempts to come clean about losing his paycheck, but seeing Wilma in a blue bikini prompts him to lie. He worriedly heads to the charity carnival whilst explaining the situation to his best friend Barney, with their wives and the kids in another car.
And, like, even though I like some of the puns, walking is a lot easier than dragging along a heavy piece of machinery.
That will be work, yeah.
Why didn't they, like, just get animals to drag them?
Yeah.
The visual gag, I think that's the inconvenience. It's just something I noticed because they're all talking in the car. It's like, obviously the iconic voice actors. So you can please just get rid of the wrapper? And
I can't, because then it'll drip on me. Like, this drips on me now, Jack.
Just use that napkin there.
Okay. It's like a granny.
This is amazing. It's like, he's laughing, but he doesn't mean his laugh.
I know, yeah.
Like, yeah. That's an anger laugh.
So, obviously the iconic voice actors, they're dead. You know, like Alan Reed, Mel Blanc, those lads. But I thought only Fred and Wilma sound somewhat what they should sound like.
I thought Fred was banging. Fred, basically. I kind of doing the maths in my head, I was like, yeah, he's probably dead, but that really does sound like him. But Barney, Jesus. He weirded me out for the entire show. I'm like, you're not Barney. Get out.
You should have seen her in that bikini.
I would have liked to have seen her in that bikini.
Watch it, Rebel.
Question. Wilma or Betty?
Rosie O'Donnell, Betty?
No. Just animated. Stay away from that.
Gotta be Wilma.
Yeah?
I'm gonna go for Betty.
Yeah, I'm kind of a Betty man myself.
Yeah, very good. Okay.
Wilma's a bit of a nag. She's a bit more naggy, you know? But then again, we spend more time with her.
Exactly.
So.
That's a bit unfair.
Inside the carnival at the Loyal Order of Water Buffaloes, which is a gentleman's club on the show, we see the Bellas, Nikki and Bree Boulder. They're identical in the film, i.e. pre-tit job, pre-nose job.
Should have been Bree Bella and Nikki Boulder, because she has the huge tits.
Throughout the film, you'll see instances that the show's writing was completed by early 2013. Like pre-tit job, pre-nose job.
Who'd want a kiss on the cheek? I wouldn't pay for that.
Well, I have this exact grievance.
Well, you could always, you know, have a chat with her and try to make a deal, Steve.
But what kind of deal could you come up with?
The Boulder twins are charging 100 clams for a kiss. A guy slams down a sack worth 502 kisses. The Bellas know it's time to trim the mark. Kiss him on the cheek and he's in love and stumbles off.
What a loser.
Where is other 500 kisses?
Yeah.
And in the audience's mind's eye, what's this guy going off to do now?
have a Tommy tank?
I think he is.
Pedal and crank.
Like, he's not going home to snuggle up to his wife, like.
But anyway, sorry, would his wife not be fucking furious when she comes back and goes, where's the 250,000 lamp?
Spend the money, kiss on the cheek.
On one kiss on each cheek.
Actually,
Jurassic Mark.
Fred and Barney have their own stall, the Box-a-Roo, where contestants pay 5 clams for 5 minutes of boxing Barney's pet, Huffy the Hopperoo.
Keep it above the pouch.
Compared to the Bella's booth, it seems like a real struggle for donations, but fortunately, it's time efficient, because Huffy has Big Show's one punch KO.
Does that mean he's turned 34 times this year?
Look in my eyes, what do you see? Cutting in line are CM Punk and Mark Henry.
CM Punk Rock and Marble Henry. Boo!
So we get a pre-shaved head Mizark, which he did in October 2013. Heel Punk pledges to win 2 prizes, despite no prizes being offered.
I'm CM Punk Rock, and I got you a first-class ticket to my fist.
CM Punk. Oh my god, isn't this wonderful to see him? Considering the bitter, bitter circumstances of his exit, he's the top heel in this movie. I imagine WWE never thought he'd actually leave and he'd still be around. Whatever legal troubles they had, it would be sorted and he'd be back by now, you know?
Probably shouldn't have sacked them on his wedding day then.
It couldn't be helped.
It's not that clever.
No. WWE did want him removed, obviously, but Warner Brothers weren't interested in their drama. They're like, we're not changing the character. No reanimating. No revoicing. Tough shit.
She'd have to do the entire show again. Well, his scenes anyway.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
And they'd have to record the other voices talking to CM Punk as well. He'd go, oh, come on, Sin Cara. Who would they have got in for?
Sin Carrick.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Punk gets in the ring and just bullies Huffy. I get some great heat. He's like,
come on, you big ugly jumping dino rat. It's takedown time.
As opposed to clobbering time. This being a cartoon, heel heat means smack talk and a noogie.
Huffy, why was he scared? Punk was just giving out to him.
I imagine, you know, Punk's a big scary bully.
But it was all talk. Like, he wasn't physically,
no,
you know, battering him. It was, you know. I don't know, maybe just intimidation, maybe. Barney gets infuriated and fights him. The animation, it's really ropey. It's such that the characters don't really interact. Like, they never apply moves. Just one person moves at a time. Like, Punk holds out his arm and Barney spins around it and, you know, flies off or whatever. It's like WrestleMania 9. Lex Luger and Mr. Perfect bumps around him. Punk gives us the line of the movie.
That's right. I am CM Punk Rock. I am the best in the prehistoric world. Thanks to my straight-edge lifestyle.
How did he know he was in the prehistoric world, Jay?
Jurassic Mark. The match is 4 moves, ending with Barney shoulder tackling Punk, and he gets catapulted off the ropes and into Vince McMahon's raw fish bar. You see this throughout the movie. Punk gets thrown into the raw fish bar. That's just straight out of Back to the Future. He's Biff, like.
Manure! I hate manure! I hate manure!
With a full bucket of clams and kudos from McMahon, Fred feels he's onto something big. Curtain down. Two, Fred's got wrestling, sports entertainment in his blood.
I was really, really fucking annoyed that they had to get sports entertainment into this.
They never say wrestling in this movie.
No.
Fred enlists Cena to round up more talent for a bigger show. Who's that jumping off the boat?
They hadn't invented boats.
Yeah.
Never mind.
How would he get
Fuck you, Steve.
It's Rey Mysterio Opal. Opal's a gemstone.
Yeah. Size of him.
Del Rio from Scooby-Doo, basically. He was enormous.
And in Bedrock Cemetery, The Undertaker, with a full head of hair, pre-WrestleMania 28. On the sidewalk, Cena outsmarts Daniel Bryrock into taking a flyer. Daniel Bryan, audience member. Because he hears it. Flyer, come see our show.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So Daniel Bryan is just some bloke in this, right?
This is his only scene in the movie.
But was he still... Clearly he was still doing this yes-no stuff.
Yeah, so he was huge at the time.
So Mark Henry gets more lines than Daniel Bryan.
And Daniel Bryan's on the cover of this movie.
Really?
Yeah, he's...
Is Punk on the cover of it?
No, it's Bryan and Taker.
The two least lines in the entire show. God.
I imagine Punk would have been on the cover and they changed Bryan.
Yeah, yeah. God, they're so petty.
I thought a problem with the voice acting, besides the voice actor sounding weird, is that they still speak normally when they're supposed to be shouting. Like, Daniel Bryan's doing his yes chant, but he's going, yes, yes, you know, as opposed to shouting it.
Yes, 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 yes.
Barney bumps into CM Punk, who intimidates him before getting handed ice cream. That was an awesome 2011 reference. That was like the closest we'll get to WWF ice cream bars again.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
At home, Wilma has literally bigger fish to fry. See, there's only a tiny portion of it is actually on the pan. So they either eat it raw or like spend 10 hours cooking it. Like.
Well, the heat would transfer through the fish.
It would take forever, though.
It would take a while, yeah. What was the animal that was doing that?
It looks like she had it on a hob. Like.
Yeah, it was just on a pan, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not liking that.
It's a bit bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. What would it be? Could it be?
Surely anything? They should have some fire-breathing dinosaur underneath.
Yeah.
Breathing onto it.
That would just Charizard. Be realistic. Yeah.
That wouldn't be realistic.
Yeah, Charizard. Fred, the lying sycophant, intentionally deceives his wife so he can slip out and head to the fairgrounds for his new wrestling event. So this is his shtick. He has a good-hearted goal, treat his family and friends to a great holiday, but lies and has schemes to try and make it happen. I thought he's a bit of a cunt.
He is slightly cunty. Mm-hmm. After the first show, he clearly says that he now has double the money that he needs to bring Wilma on holidays.
It's like, I have a week's worth of holiday money here.
So can you not take half of it and put it away and guarantee yourself a holiday and then invest the rest of it? Like, but no. Massive cunt.
Maybe he is a wrestler. You know, he's a carny. Just blow through it.
Total carny.
Yeah. Welcome to the FFE, Fred Flintstone Entertainment. 10 clams in.
E.
10 clams in at the Cobblestone County Fairgrounds. In the locker room, Taker's browsing a cat sight, saber-tooth fancy, on his tablet, Ray's on his shell phone.
Well, that actually was clever.
Yes, and Cena's sleeping off a double shift. Unhappy with his suit attire, Fred forcefully strips Mysterio down into his ring gear.
He destroyed all of his clothes. It's not like he left some there to make some cool gear. He just ended up taking off all his clothes. He could have just asked him to do that, and then he would have had a suit to put back on later on.
Yeah, you could at least maintain the structure of the jacket.
Yeah.
He rips off his pants as well.
Yeah.
That's correct.
And the joke is Mysterio's like, how do you know I was, you know, wearing underwear? It's like, the lucky break.
I wanted to see your stones.
In other wardrobe hijinks, Taker has pink tights bet up his hole.
Are these things supposed to be this tight? They're creeping up something terrible.
Hungry bum. Yeah. I thought this was okay. If it had to be any other wrestler, I don't think I would have laughed at the fact that it's Taker wearing pink jocks bed up his hole.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
I wish that would happen in real life.
That'd be really funny,
wouldn't it? And, you know, go with it as well, really work it.
Awesome.
curtain jerking the show is 15-time world champion John Cena and 3-time world champion Rey Mysterio. The two biggest merch sellers in WWE for a couple of years. Young man Cena sheds his 2012 yellow and purple gear to old man Cena, Captain High Pants, with his jorts above his navel. Fred hasn't booked the match and tells Cena to just put on a show. And Cena and Mysterio flex their totally natural big HGH muscles.
It's the Vince McMahon magazine cover muscles.
Spicy.
Yes.
Then Cena delivers a Zangief-style spinning throw, dumping Mysterio on top of his head.
Isn't this what put out Austin? Don't do this move, kids. And plus, that's it.
Yeah, one move and it's over.
And just fucking jumped out, run.
And then Mysterio, no cells, and the lads walk off happy, sorry.
They're fucking having a hug as the fans boo them. Awesome.
Fred scrambles, covering for them. So next up is Barney versus The Undertaker. He attempts to flee from the dead man, so Fred lowers the cage. Barney gets thrown up and clings to the cage roof and inadvertently falls, pinning Taker. And guess what? We get a fucking distraction finish. As Barney and Fred's wives show up and Taker turns it around and gets the win. They explain to Betty and Wilma that it was all to bring them on a nice vacation. And they do a 360, brother. They're happy about it. Yeah, that's fine. The ends and lies justify the means.
Gold diggers.
Vince again congratulates Fred, and the success goes straight to his head, dreaming of figuratively and literally rolling in clams. Clams is the currency. He summarily quits his job, and that night interrupts Barney taking a shit. Betty again asks if Barney's okay in the toilet. It's like, let me shit in peace, woman. Fred mentions spending the holiday monkey on his new threads and a TV deal.
Do you not get paid for being on TV?
He's got an ECW deal, because Heyman had to pay them to get on TV.
I don't get that. Why would anyone, what kind of businessman would accept that deal? Seems like a bit of a money loser. Well, it was.
Yeah.
it put them out of business.
Exactly. Although Fred acquiesces to quit while he's ahead, Fred heel turns, selfishly deciding to put on the show anyway without Barney. Will he succeed? Ooh, let's find out in Act 3. Act 3. Well, it's the big show. Not literally. Himself and Kane are too busy having terrible matches on. At the Bedrock Arena, this event is being televised. They have that technology, but still employ people to break rocks for a living. The faces threaten to walk out when they hear Fred say, "Forget Barney." He's not showing up. Fred's offering them fame and fortune, but the Undertaker, of all people, says he wants friends.
Fame, fortune, what more could you want?
Friends. No Barney, no us.
A dejected Fred realizes how easily he sold out and kind of face turns again.
Hold on, how long was he heel for?
About 5 minutes.
Five
minutes. A standard Big Show heel turn. So Fred realizes how easily he sold out.
He didn't sell out, he bought in.
Yeah!
But at least Jarrett did apologise afterwards.
He was sorry.
Wasn't he sorry, Steve? He was.
Sorry, didn't do it earlier.
It's like my favourite gag that's not over. In the ring is UFC fighter CM Punk. 0 wins, 0 losses, and 0 draws. He riles the crowd up for a rematch with Barney. And gets a chant going for rematch. Fuck off, you and your rematches. Don't promote rematches. Fred resolves to fight Punk himself, which appeases the fans. A tactic he could have done without Barney anyway. And Fred gets the tar beaten out of him. Punk remarks beating up Fred is more fun than making Hopper Kangs cry, brah.
Make him what cry?
Hopperoos, you know.
Oh, okay.
He gets smashed into the ground by Mizark. It's like, who's that guy? Stay out of Riverdale.
Someone in our Moose or something like that, is it?
Yeah, Moose from Archie.
Yeah.
Rapidoo! John Cena and Oro N jump off the boat and save Fred. Taker also comes to his aid and Super Tombstone slams the world's strongest caveman, Marble Henry, breaking the mat. Punk grabs a chair and with a test of strength with Cena, his theme song starts playing, he bats Punk away once and then Disco spins and throws him into Vince's raw fish bar again.
Damn it, D-Lo!
I hate manure.
I hate manure.
It does. That was very good. So as the end game boss, Punk doesn't give up that easy and lunges towards Fred. But out of nowhere, Barney forces his dick into Punk's face until he's out. That'd be an immediate tap out for me. Cause he, you know, he jumps on his face and keeps... I don't know what he's doing.
The thrust is a must.
Henry tries to hulk up, but Bam Bam, not Bigelow, sadly, does his trademark smashing. The bam, 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 bam. Their wives stank eye the Bellas into fleeing, and we're done. A 9-minute telecast.
Give me all your clams.
Wow, so it all ends well. Their gamble has paid off. Fred says he's done with sports entertainment and offers it to Vince, who gives him a free holiday in exchange. No underhanded tactics, no Black Saturday force you out of business needed, no getting Dr. Ammon to sue you. Fred just hands over the IP. Vince barks he'll build the biggest sports entertainment company in the world, even if it takes 65 million years.
Gotta make that WWEC. Velocity.
Oh, he could go on to like Stone Cold's podcast and he'd be like, am I out of touch? No. Am I 65 million years old? Yes. To see us out, the two families enjoy relaxing on the beach, resetting to the status quo. His former boss gave Fred his job back with the excuse that Fred had clam fever.
That's not a good enough reason.
Yeah, he told him to fuck off to his face.
Like, yeah. You know?
And the two lads scramble to a karaoke contest as they might get to be in Prehistoric Idol. Yeah, boy. Yeah, credits roll at 49 minutes. See you later. So, what do you think of the movie?
Nothing.
You know, there was a few
chuckles.
Chuckles. Or
any guffaws?
No. A few smirks.
Any teehees?
Not a single teehee to be had. But I liked the Flintstones when I was a kid. That carried me through the first like 10-15 minutes. And then once the wrestling started, I lost interest. Because in general with cartoons, I wouldn't be a big fan of the... Whoop, 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 you know, the silly stuff and the jumping 100 feet in the air and the spinning around and like physics defying stuff. I preferred Scooby-Doo, but this was shorter, which is a bonus.
Yeah, agreed. I'm not a big fan of the Flintstones, but the show is clearly aimed at kids, so you can't really be mad at it. It's my own fault for picking it and forcing you guys to watch it. Like, I think kids will love it, apart from the main villain, CM Punk, not being in WWE anymore. Sort of like, you know, it's kind of less relevant. Yet Fred's a bit of an arsehole, quick-tempered, always lying to his quite reasonable wife. You listening to this, I wouldn't recommend checking it out, but your kids might like it. And as a positive, as you said, it's shorter than an episode of Boardwalk Empire or NXT. Nor Fred or Pebbles or Bam Bam won the WWE title, so thanks, you know. All of these Rock puns, where was the Rock?
Too expensive.
Also, Bill Goldberg was touted to be in this film. He was supposed to be
really
Bill Goldboulder. And I wonder
Gold Boulder.
Was he related to the Bellas?
Yeah. Huh? They're Jewish cousins.
Yeah, I wonder You know, because Cena's not the big baby face here, although he's in it. But imagine if, like, Reigns was the top baby face.
What would you call him?
Rock Reigns. Rock rocks.
Rock, rock, rock.
Anyway, our work here is done. But you didn't do anything.
Didn't I?
Brucey Bonus episode 48 is in the books. Good stuff, lads.
Yeah.
No. It's awful.
That was our review of it.
Oh, right. Oh, it was great. Yeah.
Think so?
No.
Remember, you can watch all of our shows. Fuck!
Free of charge.
And an IMAX-flavored 4:3 full screen at oswreview.com. So it's a goodbye from Steve.
Better.
And we will.
Take a beat.
And myself, Jay Hunter. And remember, wazzle wazzle.
Wazzle wazzle?
Rock rock. My winner is you.